America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This one of your favorites, you?
Nope.
Okay. Welcome back, Midday Show. I mean, you could just say it is. You know, we got a guest coming.
No, I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna lie.
All right, he's not gonna lie. Now, hopefully, neither our next guest will either. His name is Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can follow him on social media at Ross Tucker NFL for his daily Ross report as we wait and follow the NFL trade deadline. And Ross, how you doing today?
I am doing awesome, and I appreciate the honesty and authenticity from you. That's important.
I mean, I can only be me, Ross, and I know this is one of your favorite artists, and I don't want to do anything to disrespect you. That's why I make it my business to at least know who the artist is when they put them.
Well, you know, because we do this every week.
Yeah, I've gotten accustomed to it now.
Ross, speaking of honesty, I need your take on this before we get to any football stuff. So we're doing a giveaway today, and we're doing it with combinations, right? Your favorite game day combinations. And Ross, can you believe this about Hugh Douglas? He doesn't like the combination of food and drink, like a beer and wings.
I'm not a beer and wings guy.
You don't like any combination of food and drink?
Or well, it's the beer and wings.
So he doesn't like the combination of food with alcoholic drinks, specifically a beer. Or like
a wine and a steak or something like that.
Like he doesn't get the concept. And I'm like, they pair together.
So I have a question, Hugh. I don't believe that. Are you saying that you don't ever drink alcohol while you're eating or vice versa?
No, I don't. I don't because it just doesn't taste right to me. It's like it kind of, for me.
So it's like a separation of church and state for you.
Yeah, it is. Like, I'll drink a soda with my meal, but I like the alcohol. If I'm drinking alcohol, Ross, I'm drinking alcohol. And my favorite pairing is a beer and a shot. That's my favorite pairing. Now, as far as eating is concerned, I'm not doing too much of that.
Okay, so I have a question. You go out to a nice steakhouse, right?
Yes.
I know that, you know, you guys have sponsors. They come in. I think I was there one time when your glorious
Del Frisco's.
Yeah, Del Frisco's for breakfast. I don't know. I didn't even know they had breakfast, but they brought a breakfast over there.
Steak,
one time.
Steak
okay.
For breakfast. Yeah,
so when you go to Del Frisco's and you sit down, okay, you obviously are going to order food.
Yes.
Because you're at Del Frisco's. So you order food. You don't order any alcohol?
Nope. Don't do it. Don't
do
it.
Wow.
If I'm going out to Ross, I'm so regimented in that. Like, if I'm going out on a night on the town, I'll eat before I go out. And then if I'm out, I'm just drinking my dinner. Like, if I eat at 3 o'clock, that's the last time I'm eating if I'm going out drinking. That's it.
Yeah, no, you're a certified weirdo now that I know that. You're in the 1% of
1%. I promise you, I'm not the only person that's like that.
No, but there's not that many else. There's not many that many more.
I mean, and Hugh, that's not fun. Like, you know, like I go out to dinner with you and everybody else at the table is getting a beer, wine, or a vodka or whatever, and you're like, nope, I can't drink. I'm eating.
I don't. I do not do it. I do not do it.
A man of conviction here, Hugh Douglas. All right, Ross, let's get to the Eagles here and obviously what's going on around the NFL. So let's start with this, Ross, before we get to where this Eagles team is and how good they've looked last month. Ross, today is the NFL trade deadline. We've seen some moves already. Za'Darius Smith to the Lions, and the Cowboys, for some reason, added a wide receiver today, even though their season looks like it's in the tank. Ross, between now and the deadline, what do you think Howie Roseman should do? Where do you think he's looking to try to add to what they have here?
You know, Joe, I knew you were going to ask me this, and I've been thinking about it. I don't think they're going to make a move. And the reason why I say that is any position you throw at me, hey, they could make a move there. Like some people might say receiver, right? They kind of already did with Dotson. He just made a big play. They invested a third-round pick in him. I don't see them get another receiver. Okay, well, people might say D-end. Well, what edge guy are you going to get that you're confident is better than what you just paid Bryce Huff $17 million a year for? I mean, at this point, Bryce Huff played six snaps. The other snaps all went to BG and Nolan Smith as well as Sweat. I guess my point is I just don't see a player available at a position of quote-unquote need that the Eagles are going to think is better than the guys they already have or already got this offseason.
It's a fair point, Ross. And it's not sometimes it's easy. Like, there's a huge hole here. Go fill that hole. They don't have that. Ross, let me throw you at you a kind of outside-the-box idea we've been talking about earlier today. So I'm going to give him the second outside-the-box idea.
Okay.
If you look at the team the last month, Ross, they've become the most run-heavy team in the NFL on early downs. It's a running team now. They don't have a need at running back. They may have an all-pro at running back. But you can never have too many bodies there, Ross, especially as the carries pile up for Saquon. What do you think of the idea of adding another back to the stable, especially if this thing is going to go through January and they're going to run the ball this much?
You know what I would like to see them do? So the answer is no, because what I would like to see them do is I would like to see them actually give Will Shipley some more carries.
Tell them again, Ross. Tell them again.
If they're gonna take some, like, do you see that? I mean, I know it got called back, but who was that 2 weeks ago where he had that touchdown?
Yes,
run?
Against the Bengals.
Yeah, he looked sweet. I would actually like to start to see. Let's say Saquon's getting 70% of the snaps. Okay, rather than it being 30% Kenny G Gainwell, I'd rather see those guys start to like split the reps. Gainwell's fine. I think Will Shipley might be a little better than fine. I think Shipley gives them some juice. I would like, and that's another one. Like, what back are you going to trade for that's better than him? And I'll give you another one. They have, if you remember in the preseason, that Tyrion Davis Price,
yep,
who was a former third round pick. I thought he looked good in the preseason. He's still on the practice squad. I'd probably rather bump him up than give draft picks for some guy like Dalvin Cook or, you know, like some older guy that is cooked. I'd rather give it to some young guy that's young and hungry. With this offensive line, Joe, in particular, I don't think you need to do that.
Interesting. Ross Tucker with us here. Trade deadline in a few hours. The Eagles, we wait to see if they do anything today. All right, Ross, let's go back to Sunday. I'm curious, you know, we've spoken before a lot, you know, and in your spots with us about Nick Sirianni and some of the things, in-game stuff that he does. I'm curious what you thought of Sunday. So it felt like he kept pushing the envelope, and then decisions just didn't work out on Sunday, right? Two-point conversions weren't converted. Fourth downs weren't converted. It was one of those games where you push the envelope, and almost every decision, even if it was rooted in some logic, didn't work, and we sit back and we're like, wait a second. That's a lot of points that could have been there that weren't, and then it, you know, became a close game. What did you make of Sirianni involved in a lot of big decisions Sunday that did not go his way?
Well, Joe, I like the way you framed it, right? Because for all of the decisions that he made, there's a percentage chance that they convert or they have success and a percentage chance they don't. In this game, they didn't convert any of them. So it's very easy in hindsight to be like, well, that didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work. He's a horrible coach. I've talked to multiple analytics people since the game. They didn't have a problem with the decisions he made. They called it variance, that none of them were successful. I'll tell you the issue I have. There's two issues I have. I don't care what the analyst.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Analytics guys say, if you kick an extra point and it goes from a two-score game to a three-score game, you have to kick the extra point there. And if people say, oh, it's too early in the game, and you know the tush-push is such a high percentage, I don't care. I think the difference between a two-score game and a three-score game is significant enough that they should have done that. Now, I also probably would have kicked the next extra point, but the next big issue I have is when they went for it on fourth and inches, and they went with the play-action pass. It's almost like, Joe, he had too much confidence in the tush-push for the first two two-point conversions, and then it didn't work, and he lost his confidence and kind of got spooked a little bit and didn't do it on fourth and inches later in the game. So out of all the decisions, I mean, obviously going for two late in the game, that was the right decision. We all know that, to make it a 14-point game. But I would say the two I have the biggest problem with were the first one, where he didn't make it a three-score game, and then I thought the decision to go for it on fourth down was the right one. Hated, hated, hated that they called like a trick-em play-action pass. Nothing was there. When you have a running back like that, when you have the success rate of the tush-push, when you have Hurts, hey, if you want to have Hurts stand back there and do a quarterback power to make sure you win the game and get that first down, go for it. Those are the ones that really bothered me.
Yeah, Ross, for me, and I agree with what you said there, especially the last one. Ross, what gets me sometimes, I feel like, and it's not just Sirianni, it's a lot in the NFL now, that the coaches look at it, and if the recommendation is like 58-42 go, or this is the right decision, they just go. And I think you got to read the game. Like Sunday, you mentioned the 16 versus 17, right? Going for two or just kicking the extra point for 17. The Jaguars had like 30 yards the whole game. I'm sitting there at home doing the math. I'm like, did the Jaguars really have four scoring drives in them today in the second half? I thought probably not. You get this thing to three scores, you score one more time, you probably win. Ross, do you think these coaches sometimes don't recognize the game they're in and just look at the numbers or the analytics, what the decision should be, instead of just saying like, hey, today I don't need to do that?
Well, and that is always the flaw in the analytics, is that the analytics are determined going into the game. What if there's weather? What if a guy gets injured?
You mean intangibles?
These are tangibles. Like, so here's the thing. The analytics, right?
Mm-hmm.
The analytics don't know that A.J. Brown's out in the second half.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
And that,
yeah.
And that you're not, and that when you're making that decision, the analytics that says go for it on this situation, they think A.J. Brown's still on your team. So you can't be. Now, it's funny because, you know, you guys know I call games every week. So I'll talk to the coaches, and one of the points they'll say to me is they'll say, I always go by the book, because why do I want to say, you know, why do I want to say most of the time the book is right? But then sometimes I'm smarter than the book, you know, their analytics book. And I understand that logic too. Like, hey, I'm not going to pick and choose where I follow this. So I get that. But if something materially changes or based on the game flow, I think you absolutely have to take that into account. I'm okay. You know what I would say, Joe? I'm okay with whatever decision they make, as long as they are taking into account both the analytics and the math, as well as the game situation when they're making it. If they're only thinking about the book, or if they're only thinking about the game, you know, and their gut feel for it, both of those are wrong. Take them both into account and make the decision you think is best for your team at the moment.
Great stuff, Ross. And something tells me this isn't the last time we'll have this discussion like this with you this season. Ross, thank you for hopping on as always. Have a great week, and we'll check out the Ross Report on social media. Thank you, Ross.
Sounds great. See you guys.
Have a good one.
There he goes, Ross Tucker. Yeah.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.